we're going to start on Nun Aleph, Nun, one second, and Nun Aleph Amud Bet. We ended in the middle of the daf yesterday where we ended right before we had Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We're about 13 lines from the top, maybe 12, I didn't count exactly. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yochanan's the first word on the line. Rabban Gamliel Beit Shammai v'Rabbi Shimon uben Azai v'Rabbi Nechemya kulu sviru lehu ma'amar kone kinyan gamur. Now, we talked about this machloket, Rabban Gamliel and Chachamim, about yesh get achar get or ain't get achar get, and yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar and ain't ma'amar achar ma'amar. So Rabban Gamliel, when he says ain't ma'amar achar ma'amar, that means that the first ma'amar, at least according to, right, that according to Abaye's explanation, that the first ma'amar is significant enough, right? According to Rava, it was either it's zero, it means nothing, or it's totally valid. And according to Abaye, it meant no, it's always valid, it's just a matter that it's partially valid. And therefore, once you do a ma'amar, you can't do another ma'amar, because it kind of took up the space that the ma'amar took up, that you can't now do another ma'amar. According to this, what do you see? That a ma'amar is koneh kinyan gamur. Now, kinyan gamur is maybe not the perfect phrase, because kinyan gamur makes it sound like, if we talk about going back to yesterday, our percentages, it sounds like 100%. But what we're going to see here is all these five people don't necessarily agree about the exact percentage as to how strong ma'amar is. There's maybe some minor variations between them, but all of them, compared to the person they were arguing with, held that a ma'amar held a certain amount of strength. And that's what's going to unify these five rabbis. So this is taking five different opinions about all different cases that all have something to do with ma'amar. We'll see some of them have nothing to do with ma'amar, but they're going to say that what they talked about was like ma'amar. And therefore, if that has, you know, that has koch, then the ma'amar also, we're going to assume, has koch. So these rabbis, again, they all talk about different things. We're going to say that the unifying thing about all of them is that they all seem to think that a ma'amar has a certain amount of strength. And I say very carefully, a certain amount, because it's not clear how much strength. Even within Beit Shammai, who was the first guy who we saw that said, ma'amar koneh kinyan gamur, it wasn't clear necessarily to what extent we say that. There was a whole machloket about it. Does it mean just lif Torah tatzara, or does it mean more? So we saw that a while back. Okay, so now we'll read inside. So he says that Rabbi Yochanan unifies all these five people, and now we're going to explain. Rabban Gamliel had Amaran. That's our case, because he said, Ein ma'amar achar ma'amar, meaning the first ma'amar was strong enough that there's no room for another ma'amar to be chal after that. So let's just remind us of our case. A guy who's a Yabam takes one of the wives and he does a ma'amar with her, and then he takes the second wife and does a ma'amar with her. So since he took the first wife and did a ma'amar with her, it already precludes him from doing a ma'amar from the second wife, which means that that ma'amar has strength. Beit Shammai ditnan. Beit Shammai, we learned this case, okay? Shlosha achim, shnayim mehem nisuin l'shtei achayot. Okay, we have our three brothers. Okay, three brothers, and I lost my third. Oh, yeah. He's close enough. He looks similar enough. Three brothers, okay? Shnayim mehem nisuin l'shtei achayot. Two of them are married to sisters, okay? And, no, I think there's enough. They're fine. Ve'echam mufne. And one is not married at all, okay? Meit echam mibalei achayot. So let's just give them names. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, okay? Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. Levi isn't married at all. Reuven dies. His wife falls to Yibum to Shimon. To the one who's... Right, the one who's single marries her, because the one who's married is married to her sister. He can't marry her. So what happens? Asaba mufne ma'amar. The mufne does a ma'amar. Remember where we're trying to go with this. We want to say that a ma'amar is significant. It's koneh kinyan gamur. So he does ma'amar with her. Achar kach meit achiv asheni. Now Shimon dies. What happens? The sister falls to Yibum to him. Now, we learned this already in the past. That it's very clear that what? If he already did Yibum with the first, then the sister is p'tura legamre. If he didn't do Yibam with her, then we have a problem, because now he has two Yivamot, two sisters who fall to him together, and that's a problem. So now what happens? So what is the halacha? Beit Shammai omrim, ishto imo, v'halazo teitse mishum achot isha. He stays with this woman he did ma'amar with, because it's as if they're married. That means ma'amar is koneh kinyan gamur. And the second sister who fell to Yibam with him is just p'tura, because it's now a regular case of erva. Rabbi Shimon, so now we're on the third, that was Beit Shammai. We have Rabban Gamliel, now we have Rabbi Shimon. Ditanya. Amar lehu Rabbi Shimon l'chachamim. Okay, here, just to give you some background, we're talking about a case where a woman falls to Yibum to two brothers who are both 9 years and a day. I don't think it has to be that they're exactly 9 years and a day, but the point is they're between the ages of 9 years, okay, and they're not yet bar mitzvahed. Okay, what's the significance? At the age of nine, they can already, 9 years and a day, we can already consider your bi'ah to be a real bi'ah, okay? You have the potential to have sexual relations, okay? Yeah, not exactly something we want to be listening to, but at age nine, you're sexually mature, let's call it. At age 13, you have da'at, right? You don't necessarily have da'at until you're 13. So you can't marry someone until you're 13. But what does Yibum require? Yibum doesn't require marriage. Yibum requires sexual relations, right? That's the chiyuv. So Rabbi Shimon says to Chachamim, what if these two brothers, okay, who were both nine in a day, let's say they were twins and they were nine in a day, or anything in between, and each of them had sex with her, okay? So now what's the status? So what does he say? Im bi'at rishon bi'ah, it's like our ma'amar achar ma'amar case, right? Or bi'ah achar bi'ah case. If the first bi'ah counted, if we say, look, he's nine and he can have bi'ah, and therefore it counted. So bi'ah sheni ain't a bi'ah. So the second one is irrelevant, right? Because there's already been bi'ah. What do we say? Ain't a achar bi'ah klum. Im bi'at rishon ain't a bi'ah, bi'at sheni nami ain't a bi'ah. Right? But if you say that the second bi'ah doesn't count, the first bi'ah isn't relevant because he's not old enough to marry her yet, then the bi'ah sheni nami ain't a bi'ah. And what do you see here? He gave the option that it could be that the bi'ah rishon is a bi'ah. Now here it's only according to one of his possibilities. This, remember I told you that all these five guys don't all agree 100% about the strength of the ma'amar, okay? But what are we going to say here? V'ha bi'at ben teisha dikim ma'amar shavi rabbanan. What are they saying? He's saying here that a bi'at ben teisha is like ma'amar. This statement of Rabbi Shimon had nothing to do with ma'amar. But what do we say? That a bi'ah of a nine-year-old is like ma'amar with a regular woman. That they're equating them. And what do we see? So number one jump is to say that ma'amar is like bi'ah ben teisha. Once you say that, so substitute in for our case ma'amar, and what would you say? You'd say that Rabbi Shimon gives two possibilities. One is the ma'amar works 100%, and one is that it works 0%. But he at least gives an option that it possibly works 100%. And therefore, we could say that according to him, ma'amar is kone kinyan gamor. Now, it's a weird explanation because he raises the possibility that ma'amar is not kone at all. But here, it's that the fact that he at least gives an option that it could be kone kinyan gamor, they put him on the list. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan adds him to this list. Ben Azai. What about Ben Azai? Ditanya Ben Azai Omer. Yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shnei yivamim v'yivama achat ve'ein ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shtei yivamot v'yabam achat. He makes a distinction between, okay, he says there is, ma'amar is takev for what? Two yivamim and one yivama. If two brothers, each one has the koach to do ma'amar separately. And because of that, if two yivamim do ma'amar with this one woman, each one counts. Okay, it's considered a ma'amar, in which case, what do we say then? Each one needs to give her a get, right? Only one of them needs to do chalitza, but each one needs to give a get, and she's considered, well, I guess it doesn't matter, she's divorced anyway, right? She's considered a divorcee anyway, even if she just has from one. But the significance of the he is now forbidden, right? Both are now forbidden to her relatives, and she needs a get from both of them. So when it's two yivamim yivamachat, it works. Ve'ein ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shtei yivamot v'yabam achat. But if it's one brother with two wives and he gives each of them ma'amar, then the second ma'amar isn't tekef. But what do you see here? Again, the relevant one is our first case. Two yivamim, each two ma'amar to this woman, they both are tekef. What do we see? Ma'amar is kone kinyan gamur. Okay? Or maybe, one second. Now the truth is, maybe it really is the other one. I guess it could be both, because then ein ma'amar achar ma'amar b'shtei yivamot v'yabam achat, that means that it's really this case. It's that if he does ma'amar to both women, only the first one holds, because the first one is konek kinyan gamor, which precludes him from the possibility of doing it with the other one. Okay, so basically, he half holds like Rabban Gamliel. It's really the ein ma'amar achar ma'amar case, because then it doesn't hold at all because the first one held completely. Amar Rabbi Nechemya. This is in our Mishnah. This was the very last line of our Mishnah. I don't know if you remember this because by the time we got to the end of the Mishnah, I think I Everyone was thoroughly confused. But that long Mishnah, let's go back to there. The last thing of the Mishnah was an opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah. Ditznan, there was a whole question about whether when we say Ein Acharei HaKlum for Chalitza and Bia, is it every case of Chalitza and Bia? Or is it in Bia, we said it depends if Bia comes in the middle or at the beginning. Because if it comes in the middle, then what do we say? It's called the Bia Psula. Okay, but Rabbi Nechemiah holds differently. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, Achad Bi'ila, Achad Chalitza, Bein B'tchila, Bein B'emtza, Bein B'sof, Ein Acharei HaKlum. What does he say? Even if you have a Bia Psula, he disagrees with everybody. Remember what a Bia Psula is. A Bia Psula is when you did some act before the Bia, which means, let's say, he first gives this woman a get, or let's do an easier case. He gives the first woman a ma'amar. Okay? He creates a relationship with her. Now he goes to marry, he has sexual relations with the second one. What did we say? It's forbidden for him to do Yibam with the second because he already did a ma'amar with the first. So therefore, when he does Bia with her, it's considered a Bia Psula and it doesn't have the same strength as a regular Bia for to do Yibam. It doesn't really fully disconnect him because he wasn't allowed to do Yibam in the first place. So comes Rabbi Nechemiah and he says, no, even a Bia Psula means that, what's the significance here? Obviously, this isn't a good Yibam, right? But the question is, what if there was a third wife? Let's take her shoot here. There's a third wife, okay? If there's a third wife in the picture, and after he does this Bia, he does a ma'amar with her, does that ma'amar have any significance whatsoever? Do we say this Bia completely disconnected him now from the mitzvah, right? And he just needs to do chalitza to resolve his issue because he didn't do a good Bia, but he can no longer have a relationship with anyone else because what's the issue here? We talked about Zika, right? That they're somehow all connected to him until he doesn't act with one of them. So if he does ma'amar, we said he's not fully disconnected with the other women. Now he's not allowed to marry them, but he's also not fully disconnected from them. But once you do the Bia, maybe it fully disconnects you. So comes Rabbi Nechemiah and he says the Bia fully disconnects you. And now this one, if he doesn't act with her, get ma'amar, it's totally insignificant. But the Tanakhama had said, no, it has significance because the Bia wasn't a strong enough Bia to totally disconnect him because it wasn't a Bia he was allowed to do. And therefore, it was a weak Bia. It didn't totally disconnect him. If he were to do something afterwards, it would still be Chal again. What does it mean? It works. It means that now he's a sort of her relatives. And now if he did a Ma'amar, for example, he'd need a get from her. Okay, so there's all sort of ramifications. So that's the question here. Rabbi Nechemiah says, once you do Bia, that's the end of it. Now, what does this have to do with Ma'amar at all? So now we're going to, again, make an equation like we did before. Then not just Bia Benteisha is like Ma'amar, but also Bia Psula is like Ma'amar. Okay? The rabbis equated, because Bia Psula is a weaker kind of Bia, it has the strength of something else that was weak. It's sort of like... There's a in Midrashim. You know how whenever there's two bad guys, they always say, "Oh, it's Datan and Aviram," right? It's like this. They try to connect everything. So that it's sort of like what goes on here. If you have anything that's weaker, those things must be all equal to each other. So the Bia Benteisha is a weaker kind of Bia. It must be like Ma'amar. Bia Psula is weaker. It must be like Ma'amar. So once you equate all these things with Ma'amar, you say, "Oh, well, then all these guys who equated these things with Ma'amar, right? All these guys who's had something to say about things that were like Ma'amar, if they say they have significance, like he says, Bia Psula is a valid Bia and there's no Ein Acharei HaKlum, then you would basically say that Ma'amar also has strength. So these are five people that had comments, some of them about Ma'amar. The last two had, number three and number five didn't have to do with Ma'amar at all. They had to do with either Bia Benteisha or Bia Psula. But since the rabbis, according to the Gemara anyway, equated those things with the Ma'amar, it's as if they said the Ma'amar has significance, and now we have these five people who all gave Ma'amar a certain amount of strength. Okay. Ketzad asa Ma'amar. Now we're going back to the Mishnah. Okay, I want you all to look back for 1 minute. Okay, let's look back at the Mishnah. The Mishnah was a little strange in its structure, and that's what the Gemara is going to talk about right now. The Mishnah starts out with Rabban Gamliel saying, Gedach en Gedach har get, velo ma'amar achar ma'amar, velo bila achar bila, velo chalitza achar chalitza. Vechachamim arim yesh Gedach har get, yesh ma'amar achar ma'amar, aval lo achar bila, velo achar chalitza. He disagrees about the get and the ma'amar. Velo achar chalitza klum. Then the Mishnah says, Ketzad. Now, what would you assume Ketzad means? We're going to now explain what's the case of en Gedach har get. Let's give a case, right? We're going to give a situation. But instead, what does the Mishnah say? Asam ma'amar bivimto v'natan la get tzricha himenu chalitza. Asama Amar v'chalitza tzrichai men aget. It's all sorts of cases where he takes one yivama, okay, and he does two acts to that yivama, but they're not the same act. He does two different things. He does ma'amar and get, he does, right? You know, that's going to be our case, all our cases after this, so at least the next section, is all cases where he takes one yivama and he does two different actions to her. Not get achar get, ma'amar achar ma'amar. So the Gemara is going to first talk about structurally what's happening here. Why did the Mishnah jump from that to that? Or right? We were expecting something when we heard the question ketzad, and something else came out as an answer. Ketzad asama amar v'chulei. Hi, get a harget. Who? The Gemara says, what? This is a situation of get a harget? It doesn't make any sense. Amar of Yehuda, hachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah meant to say. Get a harget, uma amar achar ma'amar, kida amaran. Okay, what does this mean, kida amaran? So Rashi says, like we said, if you're looking for a case of get a harget, ma'amar achar ma'amar, that's like we said in the Braita. Go look in the Braita. If you remember, in the page before, we were quoting this long Braita, which said, Ketzad Rabban Gamliel say yesh gerach ain gerach harget, and they brought basically what you were expecting in the Mishnah is not found in the Mishnah; it's found in a Braita. So, and the Gemara already brought it up. So they're saying if you want to know Ketzad a case like that, go look in the Braita. Why the Mishnah didn't put it in is not answered here. They're just saying it happens; it didn't. And then what's this question then of Ketzad? This question is Yabam Achat v'Achavi Yivama Achat Ketzad. That's what they want to know. They want to know when you have one yabam and one yivama, and he does two different actions to her, then ketzad, how does it work? Ketzad hataratan. How do they get out of it, right? What's the procedure that they need to go through to resolve the issue? Or sometimes it doesn't even need resolving. We'll see which case doesn't need resolving in 1 second. Asama amar b'yivim tov v'natan la get. So let's say you gave him a amar, and then you did a get. What does she need now to fix her, right? To be totally yafeh. Sricha heimenu chalitza. Okay, and that's what the Mishnah is telling you. So now we're going to go to the second case. Asama amar uba'al. I think it's the second, maybe the third. Asama amar uba'al. If he does a ma'amar and then he sleeps with her, harezo kemitzvata. That's exactly the way the mitzvah is supposed to be. Okay, now we're going to learn about this case a little bit, which is good because we talked about ma'amar a lot. Now we're going to really see, I mentioned to you before, that the rabbis at a certain point said we should really do ma'amar Kavua, right? We learned that from the Torah, you really only have to have bi'ah, yevama yavo aleha. But then, what did they say? They said adiv to do a ma'amar before, kind of like a marriage ceremony, right? First you have the kiddushin, and then you get married. So now, the Mishnah says, asama amar ba'al harezo kemitzvata. How do you read that sentence? What does it mean, harezo kemitzvata? Is this, you fulfill the mitzvah, or this is the way to do the mitzvah. Exactly, the best way to do the mitzvah. So that's the question. How are we going to read this? So first the Gemara reads it as saying, maybe this means this is the best way. And they're going to say it like this. Lema misayali. Maybe we can bring proof from this Mishnah for Rav Huna, the Rav Huna. Okay, Rav Huna is an Emora, right? I think he's second generation. Let's say that what this Emora said a few generations after the Mishnah was written, he can support himself, find support for what he said in the words of this Mishnah. Da'amar Rav Huna, what did Rav Huna say? Mitzvah yivama, this is how you do yibum. Mikadesh v'achar kach bo'el. You do kiddushim, which is really the ma'amar, and then you do be'ilah. So the Gemara says, no, you can't prove it from this Mishnah. Why not? Because we could read the Mishnah otherwise, right? We could say ema, like I said in the beginning. Af zeh kimitzvata. Even this is an okay way to fulfill your mitzvah, but not necessarily that it's the best way to fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, so if you read it as the best way, then it proves Rav Huna. But if you don't read it as the best way, then you can say, look, it wasn't clear from the Mishnah, but Rav Huna thinks this is the case. So the Gemara says, if you're going to read it as this is also a way of fulfilling for the mitzvah, then the Gemara says, pshita, obviously. It's what are you mechadesh? To say this is the best mitzvah, that's a chiddush. Because really from the Torah, it's just with be'ilah. But if you say, this is also a way of fulfilling the mitzvah, that's really no chiddush. Why does the Mishnah need to tell us that? So they say, you might have thought so. Why? Salchidat hachamina, what might you have thought? You might have thought this wasn't a good way to do the mitzvah. Why? Kevan de'amar mar, ha'osem ma'amar b'yivim to, I don't know if you remember this, but we learned this on Kaftet Amabet. If you do a ma'amar to your vama, parcha he'menu zikat yivamim, v'chala alav zikat erusim v'nisuin. Okay, first we have to understand the statement, then we'll go back to what people might have thought. We learned in the past, when we learned this sugya, that the world of Yibum can happen against her will. You can do yibum, you can have sex with her to be mekayem the mitzvah of yibum, even if she's unwilling. Okay? We won't get into the difficulties of that. But that's the halacha. Yibum doesn't need agreement. However, kiddushin, okay, like get, needs the woman's agreement. So what do they say? If you want to do yibum with this woman and she's not interested and you just have sex with her, you fulfilled your mitzvah. However, if you did ma'amar with her first, then you can no longer have sex with her against her will. Once you've entered the world of kiddushin, it now has the laws of kiddushin and erusin upon it, which means it has to be willing. So that's what we say at this point. Okay? So now, if you're going to say that, that's what that statement means. Ha'usem amar b'yibinto, parcha himenu zikat yivamin, she's left the realm of yibum, and now falls upon her the realm of erusin nisuin, which really means she didn't leave the whole world of yibum, she still has to do the mitzvah of yibum, but she's left it in the sense that now there's no more yibum against her will. So what might you have thought if that's the case? If really, if you understand this, that you've left the world of yibum, eima lav mitzvah ka'avid. You might have thought that you're not actually fulfilling the mitzvah of yibum now, because you've left the world of yibum. Once you do ma'amar, you've left the world, you now enter the world of kiddushin, and then maybe it's not yibum. So then they say, kamash malan, that you haven't left it entirely. In other words, you still have, it means that you can't do a ba'al korcha, but it doesn't mean that you can't fulfill your mitzvah of yibum this way. Okay? And that's what the Mishnah is telling you, that if you did ma'amar and then you had sex with her, that still is a good way of fulfilling the mitzvah. Don't think that once you do ma'amar, you've left the world of yibum entirely. You've only left it for the sense of doing it against her will. Okay. So now, gufa. Now we're going to go into the statement of Rav Huna. Gufa always means we're going to go in depth into something that we quoted. Amar Rav Huna, mitzvah yivamim. First of all, the Mepharshim quote here, the lahalacha, in the Shulchan Aruch, I just want to clarify in terms of what the flow of the Gemara is. The Gemara tried to say that our Mishnah means that we can prove Rav Huna, okay? That Rav Huna can find a proof in our Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, harezo kemitzvata, meaning it's the ideal way to do it. The Gemara rejected that and said, no, it could be understood as it's a possible way. And then the Gemara says, what do you mean? How can it be understood as a possible way? That's Peshitta. And then they say, no, it's not kol kach pashut, because you might have thought that we've left the world of yibum. But now, so in the end, what do we have? You can't prove Rav Huna from the Mishnah. So what might you think? Oh, well, that means he's not so provable, right? It's not a great shita. But in fact, the halakha, that's not the way they look at it. Rav Huna maybe can't bring a proof from our Mishnah. However, nobody argues with Rav Huna. And because nobody argues with him, he's quoted the halakha that this is the ideal way to do yibum. Ideally, in a yibum case, you should first get married, like do a ceremony, okay? Have some sort of tekes. And then you can take her home and go to sleep with her. But first, you have to do some sort of kiddushin. And now we're going to go into that and see why that's the case. And just know that la halacha, that's how we pass it. Even though, obviously, la halacha, it's not relevant, because nowadays we don't do yibum anymore. Okay, right now we always do chalitza. That's a separate thing. But if there were to be yibum, that would be the ideal way to do it. Gufa. Amar Rav Huna, mitzvah yivamim, mekadesh b'char kach bo'el. V'im ba'al ba'asa ma'amar, kana. This is a very weird statement. He says, the ideal mitzvah, this makes sense, the first part, you do kiddushin, and then you're bo'el. But if he was bo'el and then did a ma'amar, he's koneh. What on earth does that mean? Why would he do the ma'amar after, right? So the Gemara says right away, im ba'al v'asa ma'amar pshita. In other words, what are you talking about? Ba'al v'asa ma'amar, that's obvious that it would be koneh. It would be koneh because of the be'ila, not because of the ma'amar. Okay, so what do they mean? No. Dahakana bibia, right? Because he acquires her by bia. The ma'amar is totally irrelevant. Obviously, he would be kona her because of the bia. So ela ema, you mistransmitted the words of Rav Huna. This is really what he meant to say. Im ba'al below ma'amar kana. So what does he say? Ideally, you have to do ma'amar first. But if you don't do ma'amar first, it still works, okay? Yibum works if you do it that way, but there's the ideal and there's the bidiyavet, right? L'chatchila bidiyavet. L'chatchila, do ma'amar first. If you didn't do ma'amar first, you're still kona. So now they say, v'hatanya lokeh. Doesn't it say somewhere in a braita that if you don't do ma'amar first, you get malkot? This is a very weird thing, because how can you get malkot if you don't do ma'amar? Ma'amar is only midrabanan, right? And malkot means we're over something doraita. Okay? So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't mean lokeh from a Torah. Makat merdut midirabanan. You get malkot midirabanan, okay? There's something called malkot in the Torah, or in the Gemara. Okay, when we refer to malkot, that means from the Torah. And when we say makat mardud, okay, that's a case, right? It comes from merit. Anyone who rebels against the words of the Chachamim, okay, sometimes the Chachamim will decide, we're going to give this guy malkot, because he did something against the words of the Chachamim, but they don't call it malkot, they call it makat mardud. It could be it's the same thing. Now, the number of how many times, right, malkot is always 39. Arba'im chaser achad, it's 39 lashes, unless the person can't handle that many. But makam radut doesn't have a particular amount associated with the rabbis would determine in each particular situation what they would give them. Okay, besides the fact that we have all these issues with the way the Gemara treats the women, this is also a difficult issue, how they actually gave lashes to people. But, right, obviously a different time and different situation. So now we're going to say, we're going to support the fact that this must have been makot midirabanan by the fact that we have situations where Rav gave malkot to people, okay, who were over on Divrei Chachamim. We're going to see a whole bunch of situations where he thought people deserved to get lashes for it, okay? None of them are exact cases, but the first one's going to be very similar to our case. Dirav mangid, mangid means he gave makot, mandi mekadesh abibia, someone who married someone by having sex with them, okay? Remember, just like yibum is supposed to happen with bia, okay? Marriage can happen in one of three possible ways, bekesef, bishtar, ubibia, right? We do kesef nowadays. But any of those three are options, midoraita. But Rav said, we don't want people to be mekadesh bibia because it had like a reach of pritzut, right? You go into bed with someone and that's how you marry them. It's not exactly an appropriate manner. So he gave malko to anyone who did that. So likewise, you could prove from here to our case that you get lashes, right? You get makam mardud if you have bia with someone without doing ma'amar before. It's basically the same kind of thing. Uman de mekadesh b'shuka, someone who goes and marries someone in the middle of the shuk. Okay, the shuk was always considered the big public place. Someone who gets married to someone in the middle of the shuk, it also seems like a kind of last minute decision. Oh, let's get married, and it's mizalzel, but you know, in the whole issue, the whole concept of marriage. Uman de mekadesh below shiduche. Okay, what does shiduche mean? Shiduche doesn't mean that you have to have a shidduch, someone has to prearrange marriage. Okay, here, shiduche, first of all, in the Koran, they actually give a good explanation. Shiduche comes from the Arabic, which has a whole bunch of different explanations. So they said that it means to you want to pass it to me? I forget exactly the way they said it. It's to, not to appease, but, one second. They have a great language section, by the way, which talks about the etymology of words. Shiduche. Oh, this isn't even in the language section. But anyway, the Aramaic, they say, which is apparently the source of the Hebrew word, bears a variety of meanings. It seems that its chief meaning is to silence. Okay, so shiduch means to silence. So why to silence? Okay, that's why I couldn't remember it, because it doesn't exactly connect. So they say, from the word silence, several other meanings develop, like to appease or to persuade. So a shiduche is to basically persuade someone to come into an agreement, okay? So the idea here, right, that's what shiduchim are, basically. You have to work on persuading people to go out with other people. So the concept here, again, is I said it's not a real shiduch. It doesn't mean a shiduch. It means that you didn't have an agreement beforehand. You didn't, like we call it, getting engaged beforehand, right? Our engagement. You have to have agreed to get married before you just get married. Again, it's the same concept of marrying someone in the shuk. It's without any prior preparation or anything. Uman de mevatel gita. Okay, now we get to some interesting cases of, here you see that the rabbis were against people who did things that caused women to be agunot or caused confusion about their children. Okay, someone who gives a get and then cancels it. Now, what does it mean? You can't cancel a get after you give it, but what happened here? He sent a shaliach to give her the get, and then he cancels the shaliach. Okay, now there's two ways you can cancel the shaliach. You can cancel the shaliach in front of a beit din, even if the shaliach's not there. So in theory, the shaliach could go to the woman, give her the get, you've already canceled it before it got her. Once the get gets to the woman, there's nothing you could do. There's a mishnah in the beginning of the fourth parak of Gittin, which talks about this. And basically, once it gets to the woman, there's nothing you could do about it. But before it gets to the woman, you can cancel the shaliach. Now, Rabban Gamliel made a takana that you can't do it in front of a beit din. You have to either get to the shaliach or get to the woman, because otherwise, she'll never know. She'll end up getting married and you'll have Banim or Mam Zerim, and it's a terrible situation. So anyway, It's unclear exactly which kind of situation we're talking about, whether some Mefarshim explained it means he canceled it with the Shaliach, but he didn't take the get back into his hands. And he's worried maybe the Shaliach will go give it to her anyway. I don't know why the Shaliach would do such a thing, but... Okay, that's one. The next one is very similar. Man de masar moda'a agita. Someone who sends a get, and then he again, in front of three people, he makes a statement and he says, listen, they forced me to give that get, right? Remember, you can't force someone to give a get. We know all know situations where people beat up other people and they put them in jail and they take away their driver's license and their credit cards to force people. Ad sheyomar rotzeani. He says rotzeani, and then he leaves the room, he goes home, and then he says, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. I really didn't want to give that. He goes in front of three people and he says, by the way, they forced me to do that, and I never really intended to do it willingly. Okay? So that, he would give, now, technically, that works. His get is canceled if it hasn't reached the woman yet. However, Rav gave Mako to anybody who would do this kind of a thing. Uman de pakir shlicha de rabbanan. There's different explanations what pakir is. I'm not going to get into all of them. But it's basically, again, a shliach de rabbanan, right? Like, it's a shliach beitin. Comes to your house to collect money, you didn't pay something, whatever it is, and you're mezalzelbo, or you beat him up, or some kind of issue, you disregard him, of disrespect. Uman de shahe shanta de rabbanan alei taltin yom. This is a great one. If the rabbis put you in Nidoy for 30 days, okay, and you don't try to do tshuva about it, you don't try to get it repealed, okay, what does that show? It shows you have total disregard for the excommunication they did. We all know this, that some rabbis give excommunication to people and those people could care less, right? You're excommunicated from those rabbis, I don't care, I belong to a different community, right? So if you, it's like a rabbi would give mako to someone who didn't take the Nidoy seriously. Okay? If they didn't try to get it repealed, it means they didn't take it seriously. Okay, he didn't go to the court to try to get it removed. Okay, here's a really weird one. Okay, it's good we have a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law in the room. A son-in-law who lives in the house of his mother-in-law. Okay, what are we worried about here?
His father-in-law.
Of his father-in-law, right. Well, okay, I said mother-in-law, you're right. It's his father-in-law's house, but his mother-in-law is living there. There was a concern that mothers-in-law have a big, right, it's not exactly relevant in this situation, have a thing for their son-in-laws, okay? And there was chashadot that something would go on, and therefore it was forbidden for a son-in-law. Some people say it's just the first son-in-law. There's some special relationship between her first son-in-law. You can think about it. I don't know if it's relevant. So basically, there was a concern that something would go on between them, and therefore they told him, don't live there. Okay? Don't live in the house because it's just opening a Pandora's box for things
it's
to happen.
It's crazy for us to think about that, but if you think about it, they were all so much younger. I mean, maybe they were the charming 13-year-old girls. Uh-huh.
The mother was very young.
Right.
The girl wasn't even of age.
Right.
The mother
could
have been 30, and the groom could have been 30.
Right. Mm-hmm. Still a little strange.
It's totally strange, but the age is getting worse.
Right. Well, now the Gemara's question is going to be stranger, okay? You're going to think, didar in de chalif lo? Wait, what do you mean? Only to live there is a problem, but to pass by her house is not a problem? V'ha ha'hu de chalif ababa de bechamua v'nagde Rav Sheshet. There was a case where Rav Sheshet gave mako to someone who just passed in front of his mother-in-law's house. So what are they saying? No, that was a particular situation. There was a known thing that he had something going on with her. There were suspicions about it. And therefore, Rav Sheshet gave him mako just for passing by. But in a normal situation, passing by is not a problem. You can walk by the house, but you can't live there. They don't really talk about going into the house, right? They make these two extremes. They don't really talk about what about going into the house. It makes it a difficult situation if your son-in-law can't even go into your house. Very odd. I think if I remember correctly, one something I saw talked about, the fact that the Mefarshim say this is no longer relevant, okay? And there's less of a concern than there used to be for this.
Yeah, you're probably right, because of the ages.
Right, it could be because of the ages, right? It's a good insight. Okay, now we have a different version of what Rav gave Mako for. Nehardia Amre, Bekulu lo mangib Rav, Ela lemakadish bebia ubelo shiduche. He says, the only case Rav gave Mako were not for all these cases. They had a different Masoret about what Rav gave Mako for. There's a city in, right, Nehardea in Bavel. Ella, right, just l'mekadesh b'bi'ah b'lo shiduche. Only someone who's mekadesh b'bi'ah without having a prearranged agreement with her that they were going to get married. V'ika da'amre afilu b'shiduche nami mishum pritzuta. Some people say, even if you're mekadesh b'bi'ah with a shiduch, in other words, either without a shidduch or bibia exclusively, both of those cases he would give mako for. And the reason was, mishum pritzuta, it's pritzus. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzab Ma'amar. Now we want to know, how did Ma'amar work? Okay, this goes back to, we've talked about, we never really explained exactly how the ceremony works. How does a Ma'amar exactly work? Natan la kesef, oshve kesef, ubishtar. So now we learn the Ma'amar could be either with money or with a document. Okay, the two other methods of getting married, other than bia. Ketzab bishtar. So now how do they do it? So they what do you mean? Ketzab, kedamaran. It already says, where does it say? It says, katav la al haniyar. Okay, now they're quoting, they're saying, you don't need to ask how they did a bishtar, because it's obviously the same way they did a shtar in marriage. And that already we know. How did they do it with marriage? Katav la al haniyar, o la cheres, af al pi she'en bo shve pruta, hare at mekudeshet li. Okay? What happens? You write on a piece of paper, hare at mekudeshet li. It doesn't matter. Now, when you're Mekadesh B'Kesef, it has to be with something that has value. It has to be a Sheva Pruta. If you write on a shtar, even if the shtar isn't worth anything, it doesn't have value. The piece of paper you write on, right? A paper is not Sheva Pruta. It's not worth almost anything, right? So, but it's because you don't need it to be a Sheva Pruta. You can just write on a piece of paper, Hareya Mekudeshet Li, and you're married. So they say, obviously, it's the same way. So Abaye says, no, you misunderstood the question. Amar Bai Hachi Kamar. They want to know shtar ketuvat yevamim ketzad. There's two documents in a wedding. One is the shtar that you would marry someone with, and one is the shtar that goes along with the wedding. We've talked about this. It's not a shtar of marriage that you're getting married through this, but we all know you also have a ketubah, right? A ketubah, the man signs, I promise I'm going to support you and give you money and take care of you and a house, etc. And he promises her a big amount of money in the event of divorce or death. Now, if you recall, what did we talk about? When you do yibum, you're not responsible for the ketubah, right? It goes from the first brother's estate, the first husband. The first husband's estate pays for her ketubah because he already gave her a ketubah, and that remains. We don't make the yavam give her a ketubah. However, he did have to do some part of the ketubah because the ketubah has two parts. One is what happens in the event of death or divorce, and that the yavam doesn't have to do because that's from the first marriage still. But what does he have to do? He has to promise her that he's going to give her food and shelter. So Amar Bai, Hachi Kamar, Shtar Ketuvat Yevamim Ketzav. We didn't mean the Shtar of the Kiddushin. They were asking about the Shtar of the Ketubah. Katavla, Ana Ploni Bar Ploni, Kabilat Yat Ploni Yevimti Alai, Lazun Ulefarnasa Karaoi. I'm taking it upon myself to give her food. Ubovat Shetehei Ketubata Al Nechzei Bala Rishon. Right? But the Ketubah money, in the event of death or divorce, is going to be from the first husband's property. And we learned this already. The late Le Merishon, and if he doesn't have any money, let's say the first husband died with no money, he was bankrupt. Tkinu Le Rabana Misheni, Kedei Shalote Kala Be'enav Lohotzia. This is one of the reasons they give her ketubah, that they don't want the husband to think, I can divorce her very easily, because he has to know there's going to be some penalty, he's going to have to pay a lot of money to her, and therefore they were mataken the ketubah. So in this case, if she doesn't have from her first husband, he has to give her one. It's a bit of a strange answer, because then if they do have from the first one, then she might be kala be'enav lohotzia. So I don't know how to relate to that. Okay. Ba'ai mine abaya mi rabba. Abaya asked the question of rabba. Natam laget va'amar hare at migureshet himeni vi'i at muteret lekol adam. What is a get? A get is a document. I should have brought you the text of a get. Anyway, we'll bring it another day. We'll get into Gittin. But a get says a few things, right? Let's backtrack. Kiddushin. What happens in Kiddushin, which is Erusin, right? You say, you take a woman who is mutar to any man, right? She's mutar to marry any man. And now you say, Hareat asura lekol adam, including me. That's what happens in the Erusin. She's now forbidden to everybody. She's forbidden also to him. Okay?
Until they get married.
Until they get married. The marriage removes the isur from himself, and now he's exclusively allowed to be with her. Okay? Get works the reverse. Now you have to say, you're now asur to me, but you're permitted to everybody in the world. Okay, so the text of a get actually has the words, v'harei at muteret lekol adam. So now, what do we have here? We have a guy who's supposed to do yibum with her. Get has no place here, right? But what did the rabbi say? The rabbi said, if for some reason he decides to give her a get before he does chalitza, we're worried that people will think, right? We're worried that there's going to be confusion. So we say this get is takef, meaning that she's considered now a divorcee, right? He's forbidden to her relatives, right? And then he also has the isur of lo yivneh. He now can't marry her if he wanted to because he already rejected her, right? It's considered a rejection. So now what kind of a get do you need for that? What if you have a get that's not a kosher get? What if you have a get that says, Hare at, right? It says like this, we just read. Close my place for a second. Right, which is part of the get, right? You're divorced from me, but e means ain. Ain at muteret lekol adam, but you're not permitted to anybody. I'm not releasing my hold on you, okay? Now, this isn't a real get. If you were to give this get to your wife, this get would be irrelevant. However, it's not totally irrelevant. We're going to learn this further on. This is called reach haget. So now, if he dies, let's say 5 years later, okay, they're not considered divorced. And he doesn't need her to give her a get to fulfill this. It's like as if he did nothing. However, if he dies 5 years later and she wants to go marry a Kohen, she's not allowed to. Because there was some sort of a rejection here that the husband gave her, right? He rejected her somewhat and he gave her, because he did say, Hare'at Megureshet Hemeni. And it's called Re'ach Haget, it like smells of a get, right? It's got some sort of, and therefore she's Usher to a Kohen. So what if you give this kind of get to your Yevamah? Is that considered enough of a get that's going to reject her or not? Okay, that means that you can't do, the Easter of Lo Yivneh is going to be upon her. So Mahu, get Yivama Durabanan who? Right? Since the get of a Yivama is only Midurabanan and not Midoraita, now he's going to give two options. Either we're going to say, get to Mahani Be'eshadish Mahani Be'yivama, get to Lo Mahani Be'eshadish Lo Mahani Be'yivama, or are we going to say, since get is Durabanan, we're going to basically say, that if a get midoraita, right, only a get midoraita is going to count, right, the get midorabanan that's needed here to be considered a get would have to be the same as a get midoraita. That's one option. In which case, this get is not a good get midoraita, so it's not a good get midorabanan. Or do we say, Odilma ati lich lufe begita? What's our whole concern about giving this woman a get that we're going to consider this get a real get? That we're worried you're going to think that that if he gives her this kind of a get, this kind of a get is not a good get, right? So what are we going to say? This get isn't a good get. So therefore, if you want to marry her and do Yibum, go right ahead. However, what's the problem? In a normal case of get, let's say he gave her a real get, okay? He said, Areat, right? Muteret, lekol adam. So now, he gives her a real get. What's the situation? We say, now there's an Isra of Lo Yivneh. Midrabanan, the rabbis made a takana, that if he gives her a real get, then he can no longer do yibum. So if we allow her in this pseudo-get case, this partial get case, to marry him after do yibum, we're worried that people are going to think, they're not going to know the difference. Who's going to look at the get and read what was said in the get and what wasn't said in the get? Whether it said Aram Mutar L'Koladam or didn't say Aram Mutar L'Koladam. People are going to know that he gave her a get. They won't know whether it was real or not. And they're going to come to think that if he gives her a real get, they can still do Yibum after. And that is a kind of Durabanan and you can't do. So here we see that the rabbis, let's put it in other words, they're mechazek, they're takana Durabanan by not allowing this. So on a Doraita level, this get is not a get. But on a Durabanan level, the rabbis came along and said, if we don't allow this kind of get, we don't say it's a good get, people are going to think that there was no difference between this get and a get where it said, right? And they're going to think that if we allow Yibum here, we'll allow Yibum when he actually gave her a real get. And therefore, we're not going to allow this. Okay, that's the second option. And the answer given is, we actually passed it this way. You can't, if you gave her this kind of a get, it wouldn't be a good get. Okay, I'm sorry, it would be a good get. We would say, again, this isn't a good get, but it's a good enough get to disconnect them for the purposes of Yibum, and that's all just so that we don't confuse and think that it's okay to give a regular get, okay? So now they're going to ask a great question. What if he just gives her a piece of paper and people think he gives her a get? If you're worried about what it looks like to people, people aren't going to know what it says in that piece of paper. Let's say he says, okay, here it doesn't mean he just gives her a piece of paper. It means he says to her, Hare'at Megureshet Li, and gives her a piece of paper that says nothing on it, a blank piece of paper, or a piece of paper that says mumbo jumbo. According to what you're saying, right? If this get counts, that get should also count. And obviously, that get's not going to count. That's a nothing. That's like a joke, right? So what does he say? No, there's a difference between a niara ba'alma and this kind of a get. Why? Hatam lo pasal b'kihuna. Hacha ka pasal b'kihuna. In other words, this case of hare'at lo, e'enat mutar l'kal adam, is a case where in general we say it has a re'ach haget and it has ramifications, the halacha. Giving a piece of paper to a woman and saying Hare'at Megureshet Li has no ramifications to halacha. Okay, so therefore, he distinguishes between those two cases. D'tanya, how do we know that you're pasul lakuna in this case? Because it says, Isha grusham me isha lo yikachu. A woman who's divorced from her husband. Now this woman is divorced from her husband, right? She's just not muteret l'kol adam, because he said, harei amigureshet hemen. So afilu lo nitgarsha ela me isha lo yikachu. Okay, you still can't marry a woman like that, a kohen. V'hainu reach haget shaposa b'kuhuna. That's what we call a reach haget. Amar Rami bar Chama, harei amru, amar achad l'lablar, he says to a sofer, k'tov get l'arusati, l'cheshach nasena argashena. He says, I'm engaged to this woman, write her a get, and as soon as I marry her, I'm going to divorce her. Harei is a get. This is a good get. Why? Mipnei shebiyado l'garsha. Once you're engaged, you need a get to get out of it. So since potentially at this moment he can write her a get and divorce her, if he says, write me a get and when I marry her I'm going to divorce her, with this get, it actually works. But ba'alma, lisha ba'alma, what if he just says it to a regular woman who he hasn't yet married, who he hasn't yet gotten engaged to, and he says, write me this get and when I marry her, I'll then divorce her with it, ein get, mipnei she'ein biyado l'garsha. If he can't divorce her at that moment, he's not allowed to write this kind of a get. Okay, this is just talking about different gitin that are psulim. Since we brought up the issue of a get pasul, that would be a get pasul. By Rama Bar Chama, liyivim tom mahu, kevan de agide be ka'arusato damya, o dilma kevan de lo ave bama amar lo. So what about this case, if he wrote, I'm going to give her this get before I do yibum with her, okay? Now is this a get or not? Did we say yesh zika, and it's as if they're married, right? It's as if they're engaged. What did we say? That zika is like erusin, right? So since the agide ba, he's integrally connected to her now because of the mitzvah of yibum, is she like his arusa? And therefore, if he says, write me again, and as soon as I do yibum with her, I'm going to divorce her, it would be good. O dilma, kevan delo avid ba ma'amar, since he didn't yet do ma'amar, maybe it's not, right? Just having zika is not strong enough. So lo, okay? Maybe then it wouldn't be good. So the answer teku, they don't know the answer. By Rav Chananya. Rav Chananya now asks a question. Okay, this is something we talked about in the past, about a get lezikato and a get lemamaro. I'm going to review it. If you give a regular get to a woman who's your yivama, the assumption is you're disconnecting from everything, okay, from ma'amar, from zika, okay? There's two ways you're connected to this woman. One way is zika, which means as soon as the brother dies, you're now connected to this woman. Another thing you're connected to is if you're to do ma'amar, okay? Now let's say you do ma'amar, and you have the zika from anyway that happened from when the brother dies. And you give her a get. So if you give her a get, you're now disconnected from all those things. You still have a fulfilled yibum. You have to do yibum. You have to do chalitza at that point. Okay? But you've at least disconnected yourself from that woman. What if you say, I am giving a get just for the zika? Or I am giving it a get just for the ma'amar? Okay, that, why would you do that? I don't know why you would do that. But the Gemara discusses, okay, we saw this a while back, that there could be a situation where someone, again, regular get just counts for everything. But if you were to say specifically, I'm giving a get to disconnect our zika, or I'm giving a get to undo the ma'amar, okay, the other one would still be there. Okay, what's the relevance, right? We're going to see. So let's say you did ma'amar with her. So now you say, I'm giving you a get. What does the get do? It erases the ma'amar that you did, but you're still left with the original zika that you had to this woman from when the brother died. You're still connected to her. You can't say, I'm totally disconnected, because you only gave her a get to disconnect from the ma'amar. So let's see the question now. Rav Chananya asks, katav get lezikato. What if you gave a get, not the case I gave, but the other case, for the zika, but lo lema'amaro, or lema'amaro velo lezikato, mahu. Now, here are the two options. Ma'amar ilave zika karame, v'havale ki magaresh chatzi isha, v'magaresh chatzi isha lo asava lo klum. Do we say, this is like a half divorce, right? You're divorcing a woman halfway because you're not totally disconnecting. Divorce means I'm disconnecting from this woman. You've disconnected only from half a woman because she's still, part of her is still connected to you either through the zika or through the ma'amar. So then do we say that this is an irrelevant get? If you gave a get like this, it means you've done nothing because you can't divorce a half a woman. O dilma, hai lechudekai v'hai lechudekai. Each one is considered a separate thing. So you can disconnect from the ma'amar, you're still left with the zika. Or you can disconnect from the zika, you're still left with the ma'amar. So he asked this question, which one is it? So they say, why don't you just learn it from Ravan? This is what we learned already a while back on Lamabet. V'tiv sholemi de Rava. De amarava natan get le ma'amaro hu trat sarata. If you give a get from ma'amar, then the tzara is now mutar. Okay, this is as if, one second, you gave a get for ma'amar. Right. This is the case. Okay, you have to get into this case. There's three brothers. Okay? Three brothers are married to three different women. Okay. Brother number one dies. His wife does a ma'amar with brother number two. Okay? Now, they did a ma'amar. Then he gives a get for the ma'amar. Okay? Then brother number two dies. Now what's our problem here? We don't know, did she, right? If she didn't do ma'amar from him, right? If we undo the ma'amar, what's going to be the situation now? She is now still the first husband's wife, right? So now he does yibum with her to resolve the first husband's problem, and he does yibum with the second wife to solve the second brother's problem. And then that works. And that's what Rava says, which means that basically the get can get rid of the ma'amar. And that means that brother number two was never really married to her. If you don't say that, like Rava said, you don't think that the get, right? You say this chatzi isha, right? She's like half a woman, and the get is irrelevant because you've only disconnected from the ma'amar, not from the zika, and therefore it's all irrelevant. Then what's your problem? He's now, the question, she belongs to the second husband. So now there's two wives from the second husband, and the third brother can't do yibum with both of them. He can only do yibum with one of them because you're not allowed to marry, do yibum with two wives from one husband. So the fact that Rava says that this ma'amar works to wipe out the zika, right? Where my marker go? Here. Right? She had a ma'amar, and then he gave her a get for ma'amaro. So he says the get for ma'amaro totally wipes out the ma'amar, which means that he thinks it works. So then why is Rav Hanani asking this question? He could just have learned it from Rava, okay? Because Rava holds that a get for ma'amaro works, okay? Even though you're only disconnecting from half a woman, right? Because she still has the zika to him. So now, what do they say? This is a great answer. L'Rava pshitale, l'Rav Hanani mibahile. In other words, just because Rava thought that was the answer, Rav Hanani had his own questions on it. He didn't necessarily agree with Rava. I checked just before class. Rav Hanani lived in the third generation, and Rava was like third to fourth generation. They must have overlapped in time, but around the same time. And basically, they're saying Rav Hanani didn't necessarily agree with Rava. Teku. Okay, so we're going to end this with a question. Okay, we'll have to end here. Sorry that we didn't get so far, but try to catch up tomorrow.